you today. And you know that on this show, we talk about relationships and careers and hobbies and friends and marriage and all of the things that go into a giant fulfilling life. And so today we will have a number of callers calling about problems in any of those areas. And one of the things that I always like to say is that we all have very messy lives, right? There is no one, even if you look at someone and think that they have a life that is just picture perfect, they don't. I can promise you that. There is no one in the world who has the life you think they have. Everything is different behind closed doors. And so it's just so important that you realize that, you know, when you are looking at someone and you're envying them for the relationship or some of their possessions or the career that they have or the way they look, there's always another story to that. And I always like to say to my kids, and it's something I recommend you talk to your kids about, if they say, oh, so-and-so is so lucky they get a later bedtime or they get that toy or whatever it is, I used to always say to them, well, life is a package deal. So if you had that toy, you'd also live in that house with those parents. And it sounds kind of harsh, but it's important that they know it's not like an a la carte Chinese menu where you get to pick and choose. It really is a package. And so if you got that person's body, you might also have their skin cancer. And so you really have to realize that whenever we are, you know, envying something, there's probably something else going on that you wouldn't want. And the reason it's so critical to think this way, and the reason I said that I used to say this to my kids, is because they truly never, ever say anymore that there is someone they are jealous of. I want that. They never say it. And I really think it's because we've trained them to understand that you really, it's not about picking and choosing things from other people's lives. It's about making the best of what you already have. So I like to, as you know, always talk about life as a pie, right? And you already have all of the ingredients you need for a happy and fulfilling life. It's really just at this point about how you make the most of what you have. And so when you look at your different slices, let's say we're looking at your career slice and you're stagnant or unhappy in your job, what can you do about it? Well, there's a lot of things you can do about it. You might feel helpless, like, you know what, you're never going anywhere in this position, or you just got laid off, or whatever it might be. There is always another side of what you could be doing. So you might expand your network. You might start telling your story differently, your history differently. Typically, we're the ones who don't tell our stories right, right? We can tell someone else's story really well. We only tell the highlights. But when it comes to ourselves, we sometimes end up thinking that our stories should be a little too raw. What's important is that everything you say in your story have a little bit of a bright side. So even if you're talking about the time that you were fired, my friend Tori Johnson, who is Good Morning America's Deals and Deals contributor, and she has an amazing career. She always talks about the fact that she became an entrepreneur the day she was fired from NBC. And she went out and she just started cold calling businesses and told them about this business she was creating called Women for Hire. And that is really what made her an entrepreneur, and that worked. So it's always up to you. You are the captain of your ship. You're the baker of your pie. You can make it all better. Right now I have our first caller on the line. Maurice, are you there?
Hi, yes.
Hi, how can I help you today, Maurice?
Hi, I just had a question about a family relationship that's been troubling me lately.
Sure. Tell me about it.
So, sure. So my brother is one of the greatest heroes in my life. You know, he was always someone I looked up to growing up. But after a certain age, it seemed like he was beginning to push me away. And now he lives in Boston. And we don't speak at all for whatever
reason. Where do you live?
I keep trying in New York.
Okay.
And for some, I just keep trying to reach out to him, and we never speak during the year. And he only calls me once a year on my birthday. And I don't know what it is that's pushed him away so much, but in general, he seems to be much more private now. And it's something my parents have noticed as well, even when we're back visiting the family in Seattle. And it's been really bugging me because every time I try speaking with him or trying to get to know him a little bit better, he just seems more like a stranger to me. And he keeps pushing me away and saying whatever it is I'm talking about is stupid or dumb. You know, he seems to really not want to be involved. in having a relationship with me, and it just really, really hurts. And I want
to
know.
Oh, I mean,
it must be
heartbreaking for you.
Oh, completely. We grew up together. We worked together, for a couple years, and it's just like I looked up to him for so long, and now he's just this totally different person, and I don't know what to do about it because I feel like if I don't do something about it now, it feels like the relationship will be gone forever.
Right. So, Maurice, tell me, how old are you?
I'm 20, man.
You're 20. Okay. And what about your brother?
He's 24.
Okay. So, and what is your current situation and his current situation in terms of relationships, kids, careers? Tell me a little more about that.
Well, I'm a college student here in New York City.
Uh-huh.
I'm studying theater. My brother and I actually currently both fish in Alaska in the summer. And we both work for my dad. And we've been doing this for a couple years now. He lives in Boston. He's studying photojournalism at Emerson.
Okay.
And he's just kind of doing his own thing there. I don't really know what else he's up to there. But I'm a college student here. And I'm pretty busy. I find myself with a pretty busy schedule being in New York City, you know. You're always doing something. Something's always
happening. Of course. No, and it sounds like you both have things that you're passionate about. So, and the nice thing, I mean, I honestly, Maurice, I couldn't tell from your voice whether you were 20 or 40. So one thing that I feel relieved about is that you are so young because your good relationship is very recent. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the good days were not 20 years ago. The good days were more like 5 years ago. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, first of all, this is the biggest time, I would argue, of change in a person's life. When they go from being a college student, you know, or a teenager to their 20s and figuring out who they are. And one of the very natural things that every person goes through is a situation where you're almost trying to, sometimes people define who they are as an adult by almost pushing away their nuclear family because it's the only way they know how to figure out who they are as an adult. So, you know, when he's around, it's kind of like, you know how when we're all at home, we end up sometimes becoming how we were when we were 12 years old. Like, we don't act like we would if we were with our friends and you're 20. You're acting very different than if suddenly you're in your parents' house. You become a little more helpless and a little bit more like a child.
Right. I understand.
We regress. And so I have a feeling that part of what's going on with him is he's trying to differentiate himself as an adult, and he's having a hard time doing that without distancing himself from his parents and his brother. So that is what I would imagine is going on, because from what you're telling me, there's no fallout that happened. There was no big blow up, correct?
Not at all. I mean, when we're fishing together in Alaska, things get stressful. That happens. That's just a part of the job.
Sure.
But there's been no real proper actual fallout between us.
Right. So I have a strong feeling that it's what we're going through right now is that he's just differentiating himself. But I am concerned about something else, okay? I do think it's really important, Maurice, that you confront him.
Okay.
Have you done that yet?
I haven't. I've been trying to think of how to speak to him about this, and I know it's something that needs to happen. I really wanted to get your thoughts on this.
Well, here's what I would like to, Maurice, this is a little bit extreme, but here's what I would like to see happen. Can we make up an excuse for you to be in Boston?
I'm sorry?
Can we make up an excuse for you to be in Boston? Like, can we make up a reason that you have to be in Boston in a couple of weeks on a Saturday? Because here's what I would like. I would like this conversation to happen in person, because when it's on the phone, it's easier to hide. It's, you know, I think sometimes when you look in someone's eyes, the conversation can be more meaningful. So what I would like to have happen is you find an excuse to be in Boston. You call them up and say, hey, I have a class trip to Boston and I'm going to be there next Saturday. Are you around to grab lunch? And then over lunch, I want you to tell him that you miss him and you want to know What is there something you've done to push him away? And then let him talk. Don't fill in the awkward silence. Let him speak. And then once you have more information, it's a lot easier to deal with the situation. But right now we're flying completely blind. Okay?
Okay.
Will you do that and call me back in a few weeks and let me know what happens?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Thanks so much, Maurice. And we'll be right back after the commercial break. Please stay tuned. Thrilled to be with you, and I loved connecting with so many of you all week long in our very vibrant Facebook community at facebook.com/SamanthaEdis. You can just hit like and join us, and every day I try to post different articles and inspiration, and we have a very vibrant, active community there. And you can also reach me on Twitter at SamanthaEdis. Right now, I have Milan on the board. Are you there?
Hi. Nice
Hi.
To talk to you. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, I'm so glad. Where are you calling from?
Calling from New York.
Terrific.
I had an advice question, actually.
Okay.
I was wondering if you had any tips for two graduate students who were in a long-distance relationship for 2 years, how to spice things up.
How to spice things up. Well, what do you mean, spice things up? Tell me a little bit about what's going on.
I feel like they're just kind of like there's a lot of tension arguments because we've been dating for like 4 years, a long time ago, grown together. And now since we're long distance and have completely different fields of study, there's just sort of like a little bit of like arguments just sort of like pop every once in a while, and we try and communicate as much as possible. But it's really hard if you're not like in person. Like I read somewhere that when you're in person with someone, like you get the pheromones from them and like connect with them.
Yes.
And, like, yeah, but if you're not, then it's kind of hard to keep it going. But, like, we both know this is something we want to keep going. We just want to, like, bring the passion back. So I was wondering how that was possible if we don't see each other that often.
Tell me, first, Milan, tell me a little bit about when you do see each other. How often is it, and what are the circumstances?
It's 3 times a year, and it's during, like, our breaks. So it's, like, very, like, maybe for a week we'll see each other again and, like, reignite it. But we seem to forget everything when we
And how old are
back
you?
In school. I'm 23.
Okay, and how old is he?
23 as well. We met a long time ago.
Okay. So I have to ask you, have you ever dated anyone else?
No.
Okay. So here's the first piece of advice I have, and you're not going to like this, okay? You
okay.
need the experience of dating people, and I'm talking about local people, because the relationship, now that you're an adult, which, you know, you basically started dating when you were children, technically, right? So you were 20 or 19 when you started? No, you
19.
Were 19 when you started dating, and now you're 23,
yeah.
And you're not even – one of the main benefits of being in a relationship is having a companion who is there. You know, Tom Hanks, he was just interviewed, and he said this thing, and he said, you know, life is one damn thing after another, and it helps to go home to someone every night who loves me no matter what, right? And have that companionship when I walk in the door. And so you're missing out on all of that. And it's just, you know, you're missing out on a critical part of the relationship. So I would argue that the thing you're missing is not how to spice things up when you're only together 3 times a year. I'm wondering why two people who are, you know, young and vibrant and healthy and have a lot going for them are doing this to themselves. Because, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying we need a year to also see other people, and then maybe we'll end up realizing that we're the love of each other's lives. But I think it's really hard doing what you're doing and not having any sort of daily companionship with your partner and not even learning what that's about. Like, that's what's really, you know, worrisome to me.
Yeah.
When you say, oh,
I've
God,
heard
is
that
this...
from other people, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what are the benefits right now of the relationship? Tell me.
Well, when we do Skype each other and call each other, we do end up talking, like, after the initial, like, tension, we do end up, like, being able to tell each other, like, anything, even, like, horrible things. Like, that trust is just there. Like, he's just, I'm so comfortable with him, you know what I mean?
Of
we
course.
We don't have, like, the same passion that we used to because we don't see each other. We don't have, like, the sexual connection and everything.
Okay. I think, I really think you are writing this story for me. I think it's pretty clear. If there's no sexual connection anymore, there is literally zero bonus to what you're doing right now because you don't have any of the benefits of companionship. You're not learning to be together and be a healthy couple. And you're not even passionate physically about this person. It sounds more like he's your best friend.
Yeah, I mean, he started out as my best friend.
So I think we want to go back to best friend-dom and then see if there's still a fire there. And there might be. You might end up married with kids in 5 years or 10 years. But right now,
so it's just a matter of taking like a break and just trusting that like if it's supposed to happen, it like might.
Absolutely,
I
would
say.
I
don't want to make like a huge mistake.
But you know what? I think the mistake you're making is not living in the present because you're in a suspended. You're constantly in a suspended state, right? It's like when are we going to see each other again? But you're not ever. Today, your friends are probably going out and either they're in a relationship with someone who's local or they're going out and hoping to meet someone. And there's a fun aspect to that that you're missing out on.
Yeah.
And this is really the time.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Here's just a question in general. So I heard from someone that texting like kind of ruins relationships a little bit or like they're not as genuine as they used to be because like with him and I, his name's Lucas, we'll text each other like every single time we go out and like every, like all the time during the day, like every 3 hours or something, like just to check in. And it seems kind of like suffocating at times. Like I can't just really be myself like and study and just like be alone. But it's weird because he's my boyfriend, so I feel like kind of obligated to do it.
I think what you're
kind of like an interesting.
It's kind of like it's a distribution channel, right? So it's like blaming a distribution channel or a communication channel on your issues. I don't think that has anything to do with the problem. I think what it does signal to me is this is literally trapping you it's literally purgatory because you're not sharing it with someone who's there. So it's preventing you from getting closer to the people who are physically around you because you're relying on this person who's miles and miles away. So I would argue that it's stunting your growth wherever you are. So it's not allowing you to really get close with the people you're around because you're depending on someone who's thousands of miles away.
Yeah, that's true.
And so for your own sanity and also your mental health and your growth as a human being, you need to cut the cord a little bit and start living in the present where you are.
Okay, that's true.
I just, you know, that it might be short-term pain, but there'll be a lot of long-term gain.
Right, and it might be long-term pain too, but we'll see.
A little bit, but overall, if this person is meant to be your soulmate, then he still will be. But right now, this is the time in your life to explore dating other people. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Right.
And for him too, and you want that to happen. You don't want to always wonder what if, because you don't want to end up married to someone you're not physically attracted to and passionate about. That's not fun either. So right now is absolutely the time, you know, and in a year or whatever it is, if you decide, oh my gosh, I am actually in love with you and passionate about you, great. But until then, this is your time to have fun and go see what's out there and see what you need in a relationship.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling, Milan. And we'll be right back after the commercial break. Please stay tuned. Hello and welcome back. I am your host, Samantha Ediff, and I am thrilled to be with you today. And we have been talking about relationships, and we are about to have our next caller. Roxanne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how can I help you today?
Well, I'm your favorite heart transplant recipient.
Oh, yes.
I've been calling in for a while, and I really just wanted to call and give you an update about what's going on.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so I made my resolution to go ahead and get this foundation started and stop talking and stop, you know, making some action, let's put it that way. So I did go to the Small Business Administration, and I had a meeting with them and the women's, there's a women's initiative in New York for minority women, you know, businesses. So I got those first steps done, and it's a lot of stuff. It really is. It's not just I wanted to have a foundation and help people. It's like you have to do a lot of work. So I'm happy, but honestly, I'm a little scared.
So tell me what you're scared about.
It's a lot of stuff that I didn't even think of.
Like
I
what?
I guess that's why we need the pros. Well, with the insurances and a lot of financial costs and stuff like that. Of course, the money that I don't have. So I got to really be fundraising, and it's, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot more work than I thought. I'm going to do it, though. I'm not going to not do it. I'm going to do it, but I'm just getting a little anxious, I think.
And so
going back onto your site and looking over a couple of things, and I said, I'm going to call back in.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did. And I think that, you know, one of the things is that part of the reason that if let's say you launch the foundation, right? And people would say, oh my gosh, you have your own foundation. That's extraordinary. And the reason it's extraordinary is because it's really, really hard to do, right? It takes a ton of work. And so if it weren't this much work, then everyone would have their own foundation or nonprofit.
Yep. Totally true.
So it makes sense that there's a lot of hurdles. I think what you have to figure out is, would I be better off doing this myself? Or there's three options as I see it. You could do this yourself. You could find someone else who is as passionate as you are to work on it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or the third option is to devote your time and your energy to someone else's nonprofit that you're equally passionate about.
I do that now. The third option is exactly what I've been doing for the last 5 years.
And how do you feel about that when you're doing it?
Oh, I love it. It's great. I like doing that. It's not, you know, a problem. It's just that it's not an issue. That is not the issue. The issue is I want to do other things. You know, I want to be free to not be always under the corporate, like, umbrella. Let's put it that way.
And
sometimes I feel restrained by that.
So maybe is it possible that this just isn't the right nonprofit to be working with? Can you tell me a little bit about your involvement?
Oh no, it's a great organization. It's New York Organ Donor. In organ donation, the procurement foundations are in every state. All right, and they are responsible to make sure. Let's say if you sign up, it has to go through the state. You know, to registry. So that's what their main focus is, to get organs, you know, like the bigger issue of getting the organs, allocating the organs, making sure the people are in both places, the donors, the recipients. They have a big responsibility. I'm just trying to focus on the part of signing people up. That's the part that I'm really good at. That's the passion that I have. So that's the part. That's only one part of what that organization does. You know what I'm saying?
So and could you do even more of it? Is there room for you to do even more of it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what about, since you're already in an existing organization, what about spending the next year trying to get even more involved? What about if you offered to train, since you've had so much success with it, what if you trained other people to go out and do what you do?
I do that already. I do a lot of those things. I educate, I talk to, you know, hospitals, I talk to medical students. I do all of those things already. I don't think there's really much more I could do with them. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. And are there other organizations that you've looked into as well?
Foundations?
Yeah, other organizations that you might be involved in that do the same thing.
Probably, I mean, I've seen some foundations that kind of do different things. You know, like there's one foundation who just makes sure that people that have transplants have transportation. You know what I mean? They're kind of fragmented.
Right.
When it gets past the big, when it gets past the big organization, there's little fragmented foundations. So this would just be like a concentration on just signing people up.
Which obviously is something that you're super passionate about, right? I mean, that's the part that you love.
It doesn't happen without that. Nothing happens without that element.
Of course,
donation doesn't happen unless people sign up. It just doesn't happen.
So
it's really, you know, focused, let's say.
Maybe this is something you should pursue. What is the biggest hurdle when you saw what it entailed? What was the biggest hurdle?
For me, it's financial. I just don't have any money. So everything would have to be, you know, fundraising. And that, it's just financial. Totally
okay.
Financial.
I mean, I've worked. So I've worked with a lot of nonprofits. And I will tell you this, mm-hmm. that you are then going to be spending all of your time fundraising and none of your time soliciting donors for a while, mm-hmm. for probably a couple of years.
Mm.
Is that something you're prepared to give up?
That's disappointing to hear that. It's really disappointing to hear that.
I mean,
I could see a year or so, but I wouldn't want to do it like a couple of years.
I mean, maybe there's another way around it. Maybe you find a person who is willing to do all the fundraising while you mm-hmm. do all the soliciting.
Yes.
Is there That's someone all. You have in mind that could do that for you?
Well, I go to college too, and I'm a culinary student, and the Small Business Administration is at the college, and they do have people that could, you know, that could facilitate fundraising. Yes, that's a good possibility. I didn't think about that, but yes, I was told that.
So what about putting a flyer up or going to talk to the professor that teaches that class? And saying,
right.
here's the thing, I have a passion, I have experience and passion, but I don't mm-hmm. have the fundraising piece of this. Do you have a student who would want to get experience doing this and partner with me on it?
Okay.
And then have coffee with that person, and I feel mm-hmm. like you have nothing to lose. I don't recommend you give up your volunteering right now with the already established organization.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
So it's just something that you'd be doing as your passion on the side. And then mm-hmm. as it grows and takes on more and more of your life, you'll figure out where to cut corners and whether it's worth it or not. But I think that's probably the best thing for you to do is to find a student with experience in this who's studying this and wants
right.
the experience. And you're mm-hmm. going to show them, they're going to learn a ton. I mean, that's the thing that they're going to have is they're going to learn so much because they're mm-hmm. going to go through the process of seeing what it takes to set up a 501c3.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yep.
So,
that's a great idea. That's why I love to talk to you, lady.
I love hearing that. Well, thank you so much. I mean, I really feel like this is something you've talked about for so long. We just need to figure out how to actually make it come to fruition.
And that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, and I think that this year is all about the exploration, like taking mm-hmm. the steps to see what it would take. But you can't do this alone. So we need to find mm-hmm. that extra person and have coffee with them, see if you like them enough to work with them. And sell mm-hmm. them on the idea that they're going to be learning a ton and be very upfront about what the time commitments are. We don't want to push this person away by having you email them all night long, right? But we want to have set times where you guys are going to work together and meet mm-hmm. and figure out what the next steps are. So I would make sure that they know it is a real commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Again.
Thank you so much for calling in. Please keep me posted on how it's going, Roxanne.
I will. Thank you.
All right. And for those of you listening, you know, one of the hardest things that we all have to contend with is we have so many competing demands on our time, right? We have so many things pulling at us. And if you have children, then you have that extra slice that is pulling on you. And I always say everyone has 6 or 7 slices in their life. Whether you're accessing them right now or not, you have them. And those things are your career, your relationship or your quest to find one, your friends have a slice, your hobbies have a slice, your community has a slice, your health has a slice, and then if you have kids, that's your 7th slice. And all of those things at any given time are competing for your time. And the important thing is to realize that a full life includes all of those things. It doesn't necessarily include children, because you might not choose to have them. But if it doesn't, all the rest of those things need to be there. Your hobbies, your friends, those all impact your health. So we will be right back after the commercial break. Please stay tuned.
Is a blue shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of
welcome back. I am your host, Samantha Edis, and I am thrilled to be with you today. And I love connecting with you all week long on Twitter at Samantha Edis and on Facebook at facebook.com/Samantha Edis. Now, many of you might remember that I gave my first TED talk this past weekend. I gave a TEDx talk and I prepared for it for 2 months. And when I arrived in Canada to give the talk, I found out that everyone else there had also prepared for 2 months. It's just kind of the thing you do when you're giving a TED talk because you have to memorize it. And my talk was 13 minutes, and you're really not just memorizing it, you're performing it. So I practiced this performance. Any friend who would listen, any colleague who would listen, I gave them that TED talk. The day of the talk, I was supposed to go on at 1 o'clock, and that morning I had to sit through all the other people's talks, and there's a special kind of hell in listening to other people's talks before you give yours because you feel like you're going to forget the words in yours. And I kind of started shaking, and I never do that before I speak. Calm myself down by saying my speech a couple more times. I go out there feeling like a million bucks, and probably 1 minute into it, I hear a sound that sounds like a gunshot, and basically the audio blew. So the audio blew. TED Talks are all about that video. They're not just about the 500 people in the room. They're about that video. So the audio blows, and I still keep talking through it, and finally they said, you know what, we need to give you a new microphone and start the whole thing again. And so I stood there on stage in front of everyone for 10 minutes, channeled my best Amy Poehler and did a little bit of stand-up, and then got the audio working again, finished the talk, got off, and they said, you know what, we're going to need you to do a whole clean version in 3 hours. You're going to have to do the whole thing again. So 3 hours later, go through the entire TED talk again in front of the same audience. So they laughed a little less. They were a little less engaged because they'd heard the exact same speech before and was finished. So I basically gave 2 TED Talks on Saturday, and it was crazy. But it just goes to show you that no matter how much you prepare, you have to expect the unexpected. Right now, I have Anne on the line. Anne, are you there?
Hey, how are you?
Hi, how can I help you today, Anne?
Well, I know that your show is all about relationships, and I've been having some huge issues lately. I've been dating this, well, not really dating. I've been talking to this man who's much older than I am, and I recently found out, by recently I mean yesterday, I found out after 6 months of knowing him that he has a wife and 3 kids. And, yeah, I just don't know what to do now. I feel, like, very bad and very strange about the whole situation, really awkward.
How long have you been dating him?
We met back in June, and then we went on a few dates over the summer, but then we kind of fell off the face of each other's earth for a few months, so you can say. And then he recently started contacting me again in December. He invited me to his annual holiday party, where I went, and he introduced me to all his friends, so people in his personal life know that I exist, you know. We never had sex or did anything like that, so it's just been kind of like a friendship, dating, kind of seeing each other and talking every now and then kind of thing. And I confronted him last night about the fact that he's married and has kids.
And what'd he say?
He was like beating around the bush about it for a little bit. But I kind of got out of him because I was like, it's okay. Like, I'm your friend. I want you to be happy. I want you to do what's best for yourself. Like, don't feel like you need to hide something like that. And, like, why would you hide something like that? And he was just saying, like, well, I'm just not really happy. Like, I got married.
Okay, so and I think, let's say your best friend came to you with the exact same situation. What would you tell her?
I know. See, that's exactly what I thought about to myself. I guess, like, looking at it from an outsider's perspective, I can see how it would just be very kind of a little skeevy. Because me, myself, I'm 22. He's 35. And I don't know. I mean, if I was telling a friend, like, trying to give them advice, maybe I would just tell them to either, like, drop it completely or just, like, be there only as a friend.
Okay. And I, with all due respect, you maybe would tell them to drop it. I mean, here is a situation where you have everything in the world going for you, you have your entire life ahead of you, you're 22. So the best case scenario would be what? That he leaves his wife and three kids and you end up a 22-year-old stepmom of three with an older guy that you're married to? Is that really what you would want?
Well, I don't want to marry him. I was just so confused when I found out that after we've been dating and like seeing each other for so long that he had a wife and kids.
Sure, but I think that those signs are there that you must run in the other direction, right? I mean, this person lied to you, and you haven't even had sex with him, so you're not really attached to him. This is the perfect time to cut the cord and have no further relationship with him.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, what's preventing you from doing that?
I don't know. I'm kind of the person, I just like to have a lot of friends and like talk to a lot of different kinds of people, and it doesn't mean I really have, want to have a relationship with them, like romantic or like a close friend relationship, but I do enjoy like talking to people and, you know, just getting to know people.
That's awesome. I mean, and the fact that you're a curious person will absolutely serve you very well in life, because everyone wants to be around someone who's curious about the world and loves meeting new people. But there's so many, there's millions of other people for you to meet. And this guy is not worth one more minute of your time. He lied to you. He has his own issues. Let him sort his own issues out. And if one day he's divorced and single and you want to date him, that's absolutely fine. But you don't need a friend like that. There's plenty of other friends that are more age appropriate and have better situations and have never lied to you.
Right. I agree.
And the problem is when someone lies once, it undoes a thousand truths. That's what they say, right? Because if someone lies once, you wonder when they're going to lie again or what else they're lying about. And then your entire relationship is totally stunted by the fact they're always worrying someone's going to lie to you. And that's not a healthy way to enter into a relationship. So this sounds like you are so lucky. You kind of dodged a bullet. You found out early on that this was a lie. And you don't need to, it doesn't matter that you met his friends. You have plenty of other men in the sea, and you're going to meet one of them, and he's going to be an honest person, and you're going to start a life, and you'll build a life together. All right? Because, Anne, you deserve that. All right, I think we lost Anne, but every one of you deserves a healthy relationship, and if you are not in one, you have to wonder what it is that you're doing to yourself. Why aren't you loving yourself enough to find one? Stay tuned next week. We'll be right back with you. In the meantime, catch me on Twitter at Samantha Edis. Have a great week, everybody.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.